Hi, I'm Sophie, Marketplace Risks AI Assistant. Welcome to Series 9 of the Platform Podcast, hosted by Marketplace Risk founder Jeremy Gottschalk. The Platform Podcast features marketplace and digital platform founders and leaders sharing valuable lessons that can be leveraged to help you successfully launch and grow. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not professional advice. For specific issues, please seek an appropriate professional or contact us at info@marketplacerisk.com for a referral.
Welcome to the Platform Podcast. On this episode, I'm joined by Heather Stewart, Managing Director of Red Maple Strategies, which is a public strategies firm based in Austin, Texas. Prior to that, Heather was a founding member at Rover.com's governmental affairs team and VP of strategic partnerships at TechNet. Heather, it's a pleasure to have you on the Platform Podcast.
Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for having me. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and your work generally at Marketplace Risk.
Well, thank you. We go back many years, probably nearly 10 maybe. And I recall meeting you when you were working on the government affairs team at Rover. And I want to start off broad and talk about what led you to tech policy and regulatory work at Rover.
Oh, at Rover. Well, I think if I can go back slightly, I came from a family of folks who are very service-oriented, doctors and teachers and nurses, folks who wanted to help people. And as I looked forward in my career, or right around the time I needed to pick a career in college, rather, it seemed like technology would need to be a part of whatever I did. So I liked solving problems, and I wanted to incorporate technology and had an interest in public policy. And Rover was actually my first public policy job out of grad school. So I had met some folks there in the commercialization department that were looking for other people who could speak tech and speak policy. And at that point, this was actually kind of rare. So I met some folks from Madrona, which is a venture capital firm that had invested in Rover, and they introduced me to the Rover team. And I was hooked.
I love that. I love that. Rover is unique in that it developed, I think, very active, functioning government affairs team from very early on. As far back as I remember, Rover was, you know, really early stage, but had a robust government affairs team. And I'm curious how that has paid off and what all marketplace companies should pay attention to about having, I'm curious how that has paid off and why all marketplace companies should pay attention to what politicians and regulators are up to at an early stage.
It's a really good question. And it's something that in hindsight, I have a lot of respect for John Lapham, who was the general counsel back when I was hired. Mm-hmm. He treated government affairs as an essential business function, part of the go-to-market team, and had the foresight from his broad experience up until that point to know that this is something Rover was going to need right away. So we were brought in early on. Even at that point, we felt like we were playing whack-a-mole because the company had existed for a few years, but we were well positioned to be able to proactively build relationships before we needed them as we scaled. And that was a benefit that I think a lot of other companies, especially young marketplace companies, haven't had. And I think that marketplace companies in general should be paying attention early on to the legislative landscape, because legislators are actively proposing bills and moving bills forward that are going to affect their business models.
So that's exactly where I want to go. What bills are percolating, and what regulations are you tracking now that are going to impact marketplaces and digital platforms in the near future?
I'm tracking a lot of bills. And quite frankly, over the last few years, we've seen a dramatic increase, especially at the state level, in the number of bills put forward that are affecting marketplaces. So some of the types of bills that I'm tracking include junk fee bills, privacy bills, AI-related bills, tax bills, age verification. Really, there are a host of issues that are affecting technology companies broadly, and then particularly marketplaces. If you want a couple of examples, one you and I have already discussed, but we're looking at is a junk fee bill in Illinois. We're seeing tons of activity, as I mentioned, at the state level. And a lot of these bills sound really great. Junk fees obviously are negatively impacting consumers, but the devil's in the details. And we've seen a number of versions of this bill, one of which could drag marketplaces into a fight that wasn't necessarily intended for them. We've all seen the headlines around the Taylor Swift Eras Tour fiasco and Ticketmaster. Right. That was the original motivation behind this bill and a lot of other bills like it. But we really need to make sure that what we end up with, the end product here, is something that is going to protect consumers in the way that was intended, but also impact, or also not negatively impact companies that it wasn't intended to impact, which is marketplaces here. So we're actively involved in those conversations.
And I think that's super important. That one thing you said there is that the legislation as drafted may not be intended to impact marketplaces, but may sweep them in. I understand the junk fee, but what are some of the other ones? Can you go into a little bit of detail on some of the other ones and how marketplaces might be impacted?
Sure. So another one is actually more squarely aimed at marketplaces. Actually, it's a couple of bills, two bills together, coming out of Texas, and they actually passed in 2019, so a few years ago, but they're now being executed on by the state comptroller's office, and they're aimed at marketplaces, and the end goal, which we can all be sympathetic to, is driving revenue for states. But what the bill do effectively is they tax marketplaces at a rate of about 130%. And an expert who has weighed in on this, Stephen Krantz at McDermott, Will and Emery, provided a really good example to help the community broadly understand the impact of the bill. And together, the two bills would require that an upfront tax be taken off of the cost of the goods. So say a book collector in Austin is selling a used book through a marketplace. The book costs $100. There's approximately a 30% fee. Historically, what you would do is you would take 8% sales tax off of the $100 book and send those $8 to the comptroller. And then the marketplace provider would take its commission and send the balance of the sale, the $70, to the bookseller. But now the Texas comptroller is telling the marketplace providers on audit that the $30 commission that the marketplace receives is also subject to a separate sales tax. So the marketplace in this example would have to collect an additional $2.40 in sales tax upon the receipt of its commission, resulting in an effective sales tax of 10.4%. So we're seeing this doubling of taxes. Not only is that unfair in the view of a lot of marketplaces, it's also just it's not practical, because these are single transactions and a lot of the companies wouldn't have a way of differentiating what the state believes is two transactions, which in effect is really one transaction. And it's causing a lot of problems, both financially and from an effort to comply with the way the law is being read. So we're looking forward to engaging in conversations leading up to the 2025 legislative session here in Texas. Every second year, the state legislature meets. And
Right.
I know that there are also some legal conversations. There may be a lawsuit or two here to help resolve this issue.
Right. So stay tuned on that. The interesting thing too is the way that some of these bills break down is sometimes they just impact goods marketplaces, sometimes they just impact services marketplaces, and then sometimes they impact all of them. So it's interesting because in this case, perhaps you might not be paying attention because you don't think it impacts you, but ultimately it does. And again, that goes back to having some sort of, I don't even want to say a government affairs function, because if you're super, super early, you can't afford it, but having an appreciation for having your ear to the ground or being engaged on these issues so that you can, kind of have your voice heard. Are there any other bills or any other issues that you're tracking of note?
Yeah, I think one, folks are probably generally aware of age verification legislation that has moved forward, example in Utah. That one's hit the press, so maybe we won't cover that one, though that is certainly an area that I'm looking at this year. One that may have not hit your audience's radar is a theft prevention and licensing bill in California. And it's part of a 14 bill bipartisan effort to combat fentanyl and retail crimes. So these are great issues to help resolve. We're certainly, as a community, sympathetic to the goals of California state legislatures, or legislators rather, excuse me. But one of the bills that is part of that package would require online marketplaces to verify and certify that each consumer product advertised on this platform by high volume third-party sellers was produced, procured, purchased, or acquired in a lawful manner. And that sounds great, but can you think about that in practice?
Right,
What
right. What
would
does it
that
mean?
do?
Right.
It certainly would drive up the cost of goods for a lot of folks, and I don't even know if it would be possible from a implementation standpoint for those marketplaces. So that's another issue where the devil's in the details, and we want to make sure that we're paying attention to bills like that and actively engaging to hopefully help play a positive role in promoting the goals of those bills, but also protecting marketplaces from and their consumers from legislation that just won't work.
Right. It's almost like these unnecessary consequences. And one of the things that you and I have talked about is just the need, the underappreciation of engaging, the need to engage. And I think that, 20 years ago, there wasn't this much activity. Certainly around marketplaces or digital platforms. Even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there wasn't a ton. But fast forward to today, and it seems like there are too many to keep count. Why do you think this is?
I mean, a term I've heard is techlash, and I think that the public at large and definitely legislators have been frustrated with what's perceived to be a laissez-faire, move fast and break things attitude that was fairly pervasive 10, 15 years ago. And there's been a reaction to that, feeling like the public needs to be defended against folks who are moving very fast and breaking things like society that we seem to find very important. Whether or not that sentiment is appropriately directed, though, is a different question. But certainly 10, 15 years ago, there were some famous examples of technology leaders, very young technology leaders, who moved fast, developed large platforms, not necessarily in compliance with existing laws, and then had to pick up the pieces later. We are seeing that change, though. Something that you and I both encourage actively is young companies to get involved in these conversations proactively, to become more aware of existing laws, and to be thoughtful in their conversations with legislators around laws that may or may not fit the current use cases.
Right. It definitely seems that the move fast and break things, the growth at all cost mentality has shifted a bit. It also seems that those who were moving fast and breaking things are now much older, their companies much more mature. And just a few weeks ago, there were a handful of these platforms testifying before the US Senate. And so it's a very different picture than when those companies were scaling, and kind of, moving that fast and breaking that many things. But to your point, I mean, imagine if there was, well, let's call it self-regulation. If every one of these companies had some focus on what the risks are from a regulatory perspective if they're not regulating themselves. And I think that that was, I mean, that's in large part, I always think of kind of government affairs folks have that, as you mentioned, that combination of kind of tech speak and policy speak. And so there's a way to communicate to executives at these tech companies, hey, if we're doing these things, these are the possible ramifications, or these are the risks, and this is why we should be having conversations and being able to distill concepts and educate, et cetera, which I think happens more now, but it certainly didn't seem it was happening, certainly back when we met and before that. One of the things that Another thing you and I have talked about before that I've tried to do for the better part of a decade is to evangelize, these seemingly boring concepts of risk management, regulatory compliance, trust and safety, et cetera, to get these marketplaces and digital platform founders and leaders to take a break from moving fast and breaking things, to pay attention to engaging in the legislative and rulemaking process. And so my question to you is, how do you recommend they go about doing that? And maybe some easy steps that they can take, maybe kind of put it on a spectrum, right? From the super early stage, no GA function maybe, to, a scaling company.
Sure. So on that very early stage end of the spectrum, maybe they have a chief legal officer or some sort of person who is managing all things legal, and they're tasked with plenty of other things outside of monitoring regulation and proposed legislation. Someone like that is in a good position to start at least paying attention to the headlines, developing some broad awareness around which industry associations might be associated with the issues that they care about, at least building up some awareness about who's fighting for the things that are likely to affect you. And then I leaned heavily in the earliest stages at Rover and a couple of other companies on free or very inexpensive legislative tracking tools. A favorite of mine right now, because it offers a fairly substantive free version, it is Plural. And you're able to track at the 50 state level as well as the federal level and save tags for yourself and actively monitor bills without putting up the several thousand dollar upfront cost of membership, formal membership. You can also go directly to states' websites and track bills that way. There are a number of ways to do that where you can save certain bills and receive email notifications. Even setting up Google Alerts is helpful. There's a lot you can do to set yourself up to have information coming to you directly, which is extremely valuable at that stage. And then as you mature, there are more advanced tools or more advanced versions of that tool that I mentioned that can help your team stay organized. They have CRM functionality, contact information of legislators so you can shift from having some awareness and tracking the most critical issues to developing a full-on government affairs or regulatory strategy and being proactive, introducing yourself to the folks you know you're going to work with one day or suspect you're going to work with one day. Also getting to know your community. So in this case, the Marketplace Risk Management Conference, which you have been hosting now for years, is so valuable to folks who are trying to get a broad understanding of the regulatory issues facing the industry as a whole. It's also a great chance to get to know others in similarly staged companies or companies a couple of stages ahead of you. Building that community, talking to each other, is really helpful in making sure you're tracking the issues that are most important.
I think that that is the one thing, that networking and that community thing. Even to this day, I find out about some of these bills and some of these initiatives somewhat randomly from just conversations where somebody knows somebody in a state that's tracking something that either didn't pop up on their radar or is moving very fast. And so they happen to have kind of an inside track on something. And so I think just connecting, networking with folks, similarly situated platforms, folks that are in the similar roles at other platforms. I think that this can't be understated how important that is, because I do agree with you. And I've found the legislation trackers and the issue trackers very helpful, very comprehensive, but sometimes even with Google Alerts, of which I have probably 100, I can't even foresee some issue that some legislator somewhere is going to take as their own and run with. And then all of a sudden there's a bill in, California that nobody ever thought about. And of course, 10 other states then follow. And it's like, it happens so fast that, just having a connection and having somebody reach out, and or somebody in a government affairs team somewhere, or a TechNet, or something like that, where you're getting the emails, you're subscribing to their newsletter, and you're hearing is probably, I don't want to say 50% of the way there, but a good majority of the way to being informed of the issues that are impacting your platform potentially.
Agreed fully. Really, those resources we've both mentioned are a force multipliers, especially at those earliest stages where you can't be everywhere you want to be and you can't pay attention to everything you want to pay attention to, but at least the highlights are coming to you in different ways, so you're able to prioritize and move as quickly as possible. Huge advantage.
Right. Totally on the same page. Well, Heather, I appreciate you joining me on the Platform Podcast, and even more so, appreciate your support all these years, because you have been supportive since the beginning and have been a part of this since the beginning. So I can't thank you enough. And before we sign off, where can people find you?
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, first off, thank you for having me, and thank you for being a great friend all of these years, and certainly for including me in Marketplace Risk and today on your podcast. You can find me at heather@redmaplestrategies.com. As you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we're a public strategy firm based in Austin, but serving folks at the local and state and federal levels around the country. So would love to hear from folks in your community. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. That's Red Maple Strategies. And I'm sure you can bug her on LinkedIn as well. Thank you so much. And we will see you in May at the conference.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you for tuning into the Platform Podcast. You can check out more episodes at marketplacerisk.com, along with information about our conferences, virtual events, and resources designed to help marketplaces and digital platforms successfully launch and grow. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Marketplace Risk to stay up to date on upcoming programs, events, and important news.